One question in the week news quiz in yesterday's paper was, which football team's socks did Prince William wear during a knockabout in Battersea Park this week? A. Aston Villa. B. Germany. C. University of St. Andrews, second 11. Obviously, playing 2 hours football on Tuesday afternoon was his way of dealing with stress as he approached the day. The group that we just heard about in that upper room in Jerusalem were expecting the worst. The Jews, they feared, were coming to get them. And they curled up and went into a kind of paralysis. They were trying to cope with shame for having let him down, remorse and self-pity because all their dreams had been shattered. But above all, fear. So they locked and bolted all the doors and waited in terror for the knock to come on the door. When we feel ourselves locked into some kind of terror or fear, or when we find our hopes or our dreams have been shattered by somebody or something, what do we do? When you think of it, we have not too many choices. In fact, we have basically 2 choices. First of all, I've got to get through this as best I can with God's help. Or we can sink into a sense of failure and self-pity, or we can rebel. We can blame God. And that is perhaps one of the most common reactions. Why did he allow this thing to happen to me, this dreadful thing? And many, as we know, cease to believe in God when things go wrong in their lives. Actually, it is better to blame God, I suggest, than saying it must be God's will. This awful thing that has happened to me, it must be God's will. C.S. Lewis, writing about the death of his wife, Joy, from cancer, says this, that the danger of seeing tragedies as God's will is not that the person will stop believing in God, but the danger is that they will continue to believe in God, but believe terrible things about him. And he writes, worse than concluding that there is no God, people will conclude that there is a God, and he is a monster. He is a cruel and heartless God who snatches children from their parents and takes parents from their children who are desperately in need of them. And he says, who can turn to such a God in time of need? Such a God, he concludes, is a God who inspires fear. Not a God who continually says to us, do not be afraid. For me this Easter, one picture said a lot about how Jesus dealt with his terror and his sufferings. It was in the Easter copy of The Spectator, and I found this picture of Hieronymus Bosch's carrying Christ carrying the cross, drawn in 1500. And I found a very interesting commentary on it. The painting is crowded with faces, writes the person who wrote the article. 17 of them, all crowded into a small space. And all bar 3 faces are snarling faces. I remember when I first saw the picture in Ghent, I think it was, I was horrified. faces full of mockery and hatred. And the only known mockers are Simon of Cyrene, who is trying to help Jesus, Veronica, who has his face on the towel, and the good thief. But it is in the face of Jesus that the artist offers, or tries to offer, his answer to the question, how did Jesus react to his betrayal and his pain and his crucifixion? And here is what the writer says. Jesus seems not to acknowledge his tormentors. He is the still center of this storm of abuse which threatens to swallow him up as he moves haltingly forward. Deep in thought, uncomplaining and resigned, a single tear forming on his lower lashes. He is the still center of the storm, a cue for us in our storms, the still center. He moves haltingly, but he does go forward. Likewise. He is deep in thought. He is uncomplaining. He is resigned. Not railing against his fate, not rebellious and angry like Thomas. But there is a tear in his lash. One tear. He feels it all deeply. And I think there is a powerful lesson in that picture for those of us who are troubled. Those who are in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus because of something that has happened in their lives, especially recently. And people who have not yet seen the glory of the risen Lord. But those of us who may be in that situation are keeping our heads. With trust in God, we are moving forward, haltingly forward, staggering, stumbling. We are thinking, not brooding, resigned and not rebelling, feeling sorrow, but not despairing. And when the healing comes, when the Lord rises for us, when through our difficulties and broken dreams we see Jesus beside us, we realize that he was there all the time. But perhaps we couldn't see him because of our tears. And maybe we will feel the truth of the words of Jesus in his final words in today's Gospel. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Blessed are those whose faith has been rocked but hasn't foundered. So maybe, perhaps, we will say those words quietly to ourselves. Blessed am I because I have believed, though I have not seen. Or even better, to hear Jesus saying those words to you. Blessed are you, put in your own name, for believing in me, though you have not seen me. And perhaps we might add too, from Jesus, the words, thank you, John, Sarah. Thank you for your faith in me.